we bring in Gary Lawless.
Lawless knows all about this.
The last time they did this that I remember talking about Stanley Cup champions was the mid-70s when the Flyers were winning their cups, and they wore little patches on the front of their sweater that, with the Stanley Cup on it, signifying that they were the Stanley Cup champions the next year.
Jeez, I don't remember that.
When they went through the regular season.
And they wore Cooperalls, I remember.
I thought that was cool that the Stanley Cup champions...
You're not just making that up?
No, because I have the hockey cards. I thought that was neat, and I don't know why teams don't do that. The Stanley Cup champion.
Gary remembers that.
Gary, do you remember that when the Flyers wore little patches on the front of their shoulder pads or shoulder with a little Stanley Cup?
I was four. I'm like, I know I look older than Damian, but I'm about 20 years younger than him.
Well, I was five. I remember it. My, you know, kindergarten in Brandon was really developed.
Yeah.
So Gary Lawless is here, a former scribe with the Winnipeg Free Press, some radio in Winnipeg, and now he's hawking internet hits with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Hawking internet hits.
I haven't said that in a long time.
Yeah. Welcome, what is your actual title there, Gary?
I said director of content. What are you?
I'm the Vegas Golden Knights insider.
Oh.
The most overused term in hockey, but
that's
there you have it.
Like, there's not vice president or director or anything like that?
No, who wants to be one of those guys?
I know.
My job is I'm our on-camera reporter. I'm a writer for the website. I do Lawless and Order on AT&T Sportsnet, and I do color commentary on radio with Dan Duva, the third period of every Golden Knights game. It's fun.
Jeez, what a job. Now, 3 days ago, you tweeted, I have no tickets and the couch is booked over and out, which means all the people who you knew in Winnipeg, they've been bugging you. All the people that who want to visit you in Vegas. I mean, have you been overwhelmed by the amount of friends that you've found out you have since this series started?
This is my favorite story of this is, and it is true, the couch is booked. My best friend, one of my best friends from growing up in Peterborough, Ontario, him and his wife are coming out next week. That's been planned for a while, so they're, you know, the inn is full. And there really aren't, I don't have any tickets to get. So, you know, if you know somebody, go ahead and get them. But I went shopping. Sorry. A guy contacted me on Facebook and said, hey, remember when you were buying those shingles for your cottage at Home Depot 3 years ago? I was the guy that helped you. Could you hook me up for tickets to Vegas?
What do you do?
That's the best reach. And hey, give him credit for trying. But that's the best reach I've had so far.
We were curious, Gord and Damian and I, is it too late to apply to be part of the Vegas broadcast team for between periods for this year? Because we kind of like to be part of the series a little bit.
So
we don't have the regional rights are expired.
But
so
we can do stuff for the web.
Flood at NBC.
We can do stuff for the web.
We're doing a Facebook live show before every game, and if you showed up in Vegas for one of the games, maybe you could be a guest.
Nice. That's pretty. So I would think, Gary, as this year's gone along, I mean, let's face it, we all have sat back in awe and watched this Vegas season unfold. And I'm assuming for you covering this team, there have been points where you went, okay, now it's going to start. It'll end. Now we're in the conference final. Do you feel as though against the Winnipeg Jets, it might be coming to an end? The magic might be over. I know we're just one game in, but do you have a sense of concern that Vegas might not be able to knock this team off?
Well, I think that all four teams left right now are very good. And if one team gets hot, they have the potential of kind of turning into a bit of a juggernaut. But no, I don't. The players were kind of scoffing yesterday. They kind of thought it was funny that they'd lost one game in this series, and that, you know, everyone was kind of, you know, asking them had the sky fallen, and they were kind of, you know how many times we've heard that. They have a belief in themselves that is, it's been tested a number of times, and they keep getting the right answer back. So I guess I'll believe it's over when it is. They've made a believer of me, and they've made a believer of a lot of people in Vegas, but not really anywhere else. Like, I think other people kind of go, oh, yeah, like, you know, like you just asked a question, Damien. You probably do believe that they're in over their head. And if you watch the game on Saturday night, there's really good reason to make that deduction. They were outmatched for the first 8 minutes of that game to a large degree. But they think they have the best goalie in the world, and that's a pretty good thing to hang your hat on. And they also think they can skate with any team in the NHL. Winnipeg does present a unique challenge in that they're just as fast and they're bigger. And let's face it, Winnipeg's top six is probably the most talented in hockey. It's pretty amazing to watch them go.
Now, do you get a sense, whether it's other media or people working for teams, that they may be looking at Vegas, though, and say, you know what, maybe we don't need to pay $10 million to one player and $8 million to another, that actually, even though it was born out of necessity because it's a first-year team, that maybe having four second lines and guys that are kind of equal but a certain style play may be the way to go?
It's the Bill Belichick method, right? Like, he's used that, other than Tom Brady, you know, give me four receivers, I'll make them good. Give us five offensive line. Like, they don't overpay at any position other than quarterback. And they rotate guys through. When you don't have that hierarchy in a dressing room, where there's a couple guys making $12 million and they're different than everybody else, they get more ice time as a result. They're untradeable. They're untouchable. Like, it creates it messes with the dynamic. This is, I wouldn't suggest that it's, a completely egalitarian society, but it's pretty even up. Everybody's got a voice in that dressing room.
Gary Lawless is with us, the Vegas Golden Knights insider on VegasGoldenKnights.com, with Damian Cox, Gord Stellick, and Darren Millard here on Hockey Central at noon. I want to get into a couple of things, but Damian, do you have a couple of hockey questions for him? Because I want to go down a different path.
I was actually going to just talk to him about the long game here, and that's those of us who don't live in Vegas don't have a sense of. And that is, by the long game, I mean the Golden Knights got their start, but they know the NFL Raiders are coming to town eventually to become a franchise, or their second pro franchise. I'm guessing there must be a sense now, Gary, that the Golden Knights have done enough to make an indelible imprint in the city that they won't get swamped by the Raiders when they start playing out of Vegas.
It's kind of weird. Like, the Raiders are still like Northern California's team. They haven't even moved to Vegas. And when they do, they are, like, a ton of the tickets that are going to be purchased for those games are going to be purchased by people that live out of state. People are going to come to Vegas. Like, people from Northern California are going to come to Vegas for the weekend, get in on Friday night, and leave on Monday morning. And I don't even know if it's Vegas' team. And it'll remains to be seen. It's going to be successful because it's the NFL, and the TV contract is going to make it work. And people from Pittsburgh and Dallas are going to want to come to games. They'll fill the place, and it'll be great. But it's not the same as what the Golden Knights are. The Golden Knights are Vegas-born and are truly a team of Las Vegas.
So
the Raiders, Damian, and the Raiders will forever, to me, be the Oakland Raiders. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I do think that there's quite a bit of difference between these two franchises and how they're going to be marketed in the community.
So I guess it's just that the NFL, Gary, is such an overwhelming machine. That, you know, and you know that as well as anybody, will the Knights, and it sounds like you're confident that they'll be able to withstand that because they've been able to make such a good impression in their first season.
Well, it's nine games a year, right? There's a ton of money in Vegas. People aren't going to have to choose. Some people will have to choose, but there's enough people around and the city is growing by leaps and bounds. You know, people can go to the Raiders and go to the Golden Knights. It's not they're not mutually exclusive. And the people that are into the Golden Knights now, like they have made a mark with people where this is their team, and I don't see it being a problem at all. As a matter of fact, if I were the Raiders, I'd be wondering how I could bottle some of the things that the Golden Knights have done inside Vegas.
Okay, season tickets, just quickly before Gordy jumps in for the last one. Where were you going into the playoffs, or going into the season, I guess, because as an expansion team, were you sold out? Was there a waiting list, and where does it stand
now? The cap season tickets are right around 14,000. They want to have the ability to for single game sales. There's a little bit more profit in that for them. And we operated, the team operated at around 104% capacity all year long. There's 17,400 right around fixed capacity.
The waiting list must grow, though.
They're always over 18,000.
Hey, what I want to ask is your Winnipeg roots. You must be happy for them, but would you prefer you weren't playing Winnipeg?
You know, it's a whole bunch of my friends had a little function last night, and we all got together, and they were. It's really neat to see how happy they are, and to see this is great for this city. It has engulfed the city. There is nothing else going on in Winnipeg right now, and it's all anyone's talking about. And I'm very happy for the people that run the Jets organization. I think they did it the right way. There were a lot of geniuses out there that kept saying Mark Chipman and Kevin Cheveldayoff didn't know what they were doing, and very clearly they did. This is the deepest organization in hockey in terms of talent, and they're going to be good for a long time. Their big problem is, can they afford all the great players they have? Uh-huh. So, no, I'm happy for Winnipeg, but I'm not going to lie. I'm hoping that at the end of this series, the Vegas Golden Knights are advancing to the Stanley Cup, and the Jets are talking about how they can get a little bit better for next year.
Yeah, if anything, it might be a little awkward for you.
I was really going to say, which is the more incredible hockey story, that Vegas in its first year has done what they're doing, or that Winnipeg, after losing its team, Gary, got a team back and are now the envy of many other teams in the NHL?
Well, this Mark Chipman doesn't get enough credit. When he hired Kevin Cheveldayoff, I wrote this, I don't know, 7 years ago. When he hired Cheveldayoff, they had like a two-hour conversation where Chipman laid out to Cheveldayoff how he was going to have to build this team and how it was going to work. And then you remember Cheveldayoff was working for Chicago at the time, and they had nothing but money. And after the conversation, Chipman drove home, and then he called Cheveldayoff back and said, look, I just want to make sure that you really understand what I'm talking about. Like, this is a slow cut. We're going to draft, and we're going to retain our own players. We're not going to sign free agents. We're not going to trade picks away. Are you sure you're on board for that? And Cheveldayoff said he was. And then Chipman doubled down all along the way by giving Cheveldayoff extensions, so that he was never in a situation where he had to do something at the trade deadline or at free agency that wasn't going to be good for the organization, was just going to be good for him and his contract. And so he could say, I made the playoffs, you can't fire me. Chipman made sure he was never in that position. They had their vision and their belief of how they were going to do it, and they would not be deterred. And to me, that's the two of them. You owe the biggest tip of the cap to those two guys, and Craig Eisinger, who's the hardest working man in hockey, for what they've done.
Yeah, and Chipman, he brought Winnipeg professional hockey when the Jets left too, so that often gets overlooked when the Minnesota Moose moved and he filled the void. But so much of a Manitoba flavor throughout this series, which was making me happy that a lot of people are getting their dues and being recognized. Parade routes. Okay, Winnipeg, I assume, goes down Portage Avenue to Main Street and then ends up at the Forks for any parade route there. Would I be wrong in that?
I'm the wrong guy to talk to about that. Scott Brown about that one.
So I assume it would be somehow involve Portage and then Main and then the Forks. In Vegas,
yeah, sure.
Where's the start? The strip is the strip, but I don't know enough about Vegas to say it ends up at the MGM or wherever.
It starts at the top of Las Vegas Boulevard and makes its way down past the Bellagio and to New York, New York, makes a right and pulls up right in front of Toshiba Plaza at T-Mobile Arena. That's my guess.
Okay.
No one showed me the plan, but that seems to make sense to me.
So it starts at the Vegas, welcome to Vegas sign kind of thing?
No. Okay. Up near like the Mirage or Wynn, up around those properties.
Okay.
And then slides down.
I just want
you'll be able to find it if it's on.
Sure. This has been fun, and actually a nice conversation. Not a lot of chirping, not a lot of beaking. It's an interesting dilemma that you find yourself in. So enjoy it, and for your team, we wish you the best of luck, Gary. Gary Lawless, the Vegas Golden Knights insider.